Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, August 27th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today, he is like Destiny or Ladybug spreading his majestic red and white or red and black polka dots wings in the sky. The most tremendous and most jolliest person on this big blue green earth, my brother, John Abaya.
I don't really want to be that person. So can I return the suit or something?
I feel like you would be a ladybug when it comes to being a superhero.
Really? Yeah. So what features I feature ladybug? I do have black dots on my face, and I turn red sometimes.
Yeah. See.
And I do flutter in the wind.
Yeah. Let's see.
Maybe you're right. Do you know who was a cool ladybug in Bug Story? I don't know his name.
Bug Story is the offshoot.
The crossover that we've been waiting for.
Sci-fi's version of Bug Life.
What the heck is sci-fi? Yeah.
Sci-fi.
Oh, sci-fi. I mean, why do you say sci-fi?
It's like, no, I think I used to call it sci-fi.
Yeah, sci-fi. I used to call it sci-fi. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that would be a cool sci-fi story, a bug's life, a bug story. Never mind.
They show, and it actually has real bugs.
Yeah, and real toys.
It's like March of the Penguins.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you mean like Morgan Freeman will be doing the voices of each bug?
Not each bug. That's how the penguins were. He was the narrator, but each penguin had its own voice. I don't know.
I don't think each penguin had a voice. I think you're talking about Happy Feet. Because I know.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, actually, now. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new television series brought to you by Amazon Video titled The Tick. But before all that, John, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is a beloved film series from Disney, bringing its like fourth installment, I believe.
Yes, anyway, I believe it's the fourth one.
Yeah. This week's trailer is Once a Wildcat.
Everyone, how's it going?
This feeling's like no other.
Can't stop thinking about what she's doing.
Someone that knows me like you do.
I don't need to settle. It's not like I'm 30.
And I've never had someone as good for
sort
me.
Sort of took the fast track to the whole marriage and kids thing. Like you.
So are you gonna hold on to this forever?
I finally found.
That is a clip from the trailer Once a Wildcat, which is the fourth High School Musical film brought to you by Disney. It's directed once again from Kenny Ortega, starring Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens, Lucas Grabeel, and Ashley Tinsdale. There's also a cast of other, you know, actors you've seen and characters you've seen in the past films. Anyway, from IMDb, this is a plot synopsis. As 10 years pass, Troy and Gabrielle struggle with being in their 30s. And as the East High School 10-year reunion fastly approaches, an unexpected tragedy event, an unexpected tragic event reunites its former Wildcat students onto one of the most memorable stage plays about loss, hardships, and grief.
Wow. I did not know this. They're still... Okay. I was really surprised about the... Because the trailer doesn't really show you anything. It looks more like a drama. I didn't know they're still continuing the musical factor of it. And I think that's kind of cool. And just very surprised about it.
So, I'm going to ask you before... what's your thoughts about it? But I guess you... First of all, are you a fan of the High School Musicals? And if you were, or if you are still, what will bring you... to watch this. This one is, the first two films were straight to TV on the Disney Channel, and the third one was actually released in movie theaters, and this one will be released in movie theaters come Oscar season. I think they're trying to do an Oscar run with this film.
Disney's actually going to go for the Oscars.
Yeah. And I think that's why they changed the title instead of High School Musical 4. They actually called it Once a Wildcat. Because I don't think a film will win an Oscar if it's called High School Musical 4.
Same here. I mean, yeah. That would be kind of cool if it did, but...
So, your thoughts, John?
So, growing up, I was never a musical. I don't know. Do they have a name? A high school? how do you say it? I was never a fan. It came out long after I graduated high school. I had no, you know, reason to watch them. And I wasn't really into musicals back then as I am now. I appreciate musicals now more than anything. But yeah, I just like the take of this, and just from you reading that small little synopsis, it makes me more involved. I didn't expect it to be a continuation of the musical. I thought it would be just, you know, just the aftermath of how their, you know, how their life is after leaving high school and everything. It's more drama and a little bit of musical in there, and I wonder who lost, because in the trailer they seem like they show all the characters, and I'm not familiar with the whole series, so I don't know if there's another beloved character in there that we're missing that they didn't show, but it seems like everyone's returning to do, you know, their part and everything. And then it's going to be interesting because, you know, the two main people, Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens, are really huge stars. I mean, I think Ashley Tisdale is also too, but the other three, I don't know of. Like, I never seen them in any other thing besides, I mean, if they were in anything, they weren't names to me. Like, they're just people, like regular actors in a movie or TV show. But I'm looking forward to it. Just wanted to see how they basically land this type of movie. Like, how can they continue this? And if there is going to be another one, are they going to continue it saying, you know, Once a Wildcat 2 or something, or they do something else? It reminds me of a recent show I watched on Netflix, What Hot American Summer, and how they keep on going back to that well, and how they're aging really rapidly, and they can't play because they used to play, they were playing like teenagers in that show.
And that was also the joke on that.
Yes, film, yes. Right? Like, but this one isn't seem like the joke, because they kind of match the part. They are, it's a decade old, and then they match that. They're in their 20s something, or hitting 30s. 30. Yeah, they said 30. They match. They look like the 30, the age they should be. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if it's going to win an Oscar. I'll be really surprised. Maybe Manuel has like a dope song in there that we don't know about.
Okay, I don't know why would he be involved in this.
I don't know. He's into music. He's into Disney and musicals right now. How do you not know he's in this? I won't be surprised.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've never watched any of their films. I have no interest in watching any of their films. I could see the appeal when it comes to the actors. Like Zac Efron, after High School Musical, has been this wonderful comedic actor.
Yes, yes. Totally agree.
Yeah, and then Vanessa Hudgens had some very controversial but daring roles. But I feel like she's trying to find her, I guess, you know, niche when it comes to films. I'm not sure what happened to Lucas Gabriel or Ashley Tisdale. Like, I'm not really big fans of those. But overall, I think this is a good direction they're taking. Like, usually when it comes to films where they were kids, they usually like, oh, everyone is just fine after 20, 30 years. But I feel like this is going to be at least when they were kids used to watch that, and now the kids are all grown up too. It's like the Toy Story.
Yeah, the Toy Story effect, kind of.
Yeah. So, like, by Toy Story 3, you are matching with Andy's age, but this time you're matching with, you know, Troy and Gabrielle's age. Then, you know, they could reflect. I don't know what's the unexpected tragic event. Everyone in that trailer seemed like they're alive. But, you know, I like a good little twist.
I did read recently, like early this year, like a couple of months ago, the actual high school got flooded, like the whole thing, and it was going to cost them $3 million to fix. Mm-hmm. And they think it, they couldn't save the whole high school, like the basketball court.
You think that's the unexpected change?
How do you not know it's the thing that'll raise money? I mean, it is a High School Musical. What better not? The high school was the seventh character of the movie show. Yeah,
so that's the whole loss, hardships, and grief it was about because of this
loss of property. Yes, thing. yes.
Okay, I'd rather go the route of like someone is like that someone has died or something.
Okay. You really wanted to make it tragic.
I wanted it to be dark. But yeah, but I might watch it. I don't know. I probably won't, actually.
Yeah, same here. I probably won't watch it and see if they do get an Oscar. If they get an Oscar, I'm going to watch it.
I'm pretty sure the fifth film will be called Always a Wildcat.
So,
Once a Wildcat, Always a Wildcat.
So what's the fifth one?
Or that's what I said. Film. Always a Wildcat.
Sixth film. You need at least a trilogy to finish it off.
Oh, like the sixth one?
Yeah.
Maybe. The title is maybe.
Maybe a Wildcat?
Yeah.
Or they should do is the next Wildcats, and it's their kids.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's kind of bad, though. I don't know.
Why not?
Anyway, moving on from that, John, you've been busy past two weekends. For those who don't know, we couldn't put out episode last week because we were on vacation. It was one of our nephew's bachelor party, and that's why we did. But we've been really, really busy with consuming entertainment.
Yes, a lot of entertainment.
So what have you been doing the past 2 weeks?
So I'll discuss two things real quick. One of my things will be just a comic book that recently came out. It's from DC called The Dark Knight's Metal. There's no trailer for this, so don't expect an audio.
But I'm pretty
thing
sure they
this.
Are trailers for comic books, though. So.
Probably, but I didn't want to add it here. The series is written by Scott Snyder and drawn by Greg Capello. They previously made the other Batman book. I forgot which one was it. I think it was called Batman. So they return as a team again, and this time they're telling a new story involving Batman and the Justice League, in which they find another universe besides the 52 universe, I believe. And it's a dark universe, basically. And they try to figure out what's about it, like what's inside that dark universe. I don't want to get into too much detail because I think the comic book is really fun. If you just are in it not because, or if you like reading comic books and don't want the whole backstory, I think The Dark Knights, it's spelled with like actual knights, not like with the K, with the N. Dark Knight's Metal is a really good comic book that basically pokes fun, but it becomes fun because they do a lot of stuff that you don't expect inside a comic book, especially one that it's run by DC. I'm not like a huge DC fan, so I was really surprised. I mostly read their Young Animal labeled books, but I never really read their main DC stuff. And The Dark Knights is the first time I read this year, like a newer take on it, or with their rebrand of Rebirth, where they're redoing everything. This is the first time I'm reading a comic book from that event. Basically, and I'm really liking it. It does a little like fun and funny stuff, especially what Batman does. He tricks a lot of people. I wonder how this happened, because I think there's like two previous series, like a prelogue, or was it called a pro post? I forgot what is it called. Like before a series start, but prologue. Sorry,
it's a prologue. It's a prologue.
Yes, the prologue. There's like two comic books. I didn't read it, but it was just really crazy. They throw a lot of different characters that I don't know about DC. I mean, they still have like the main Justice League, but there's other characters. There's a team that I never heard of that like protects or is investigating this this event, this different universe. And yeah, it just. And then the last page, I guess if you're like a fan of another like comic series, the last page of this introduced this character that I didn't know that well, but I read the series. I don't want to like say what series is it connected to, but I was like, oh, I didn't know they're like separate. Like this is a thing that DC's been doing lately, is combining their other titles from like Vertigo or Hanna-Barbera type of things, or... just making it, making it different from what it is. But I'm really liking it. Just go out and read it. I think it's like $5 right now for this issue. I'm just going to keep reading the main issue, not the one
side.
Shots. Yeah, side stories and stuff like that. And moving on to a TV show that premiered on Netflix over the weekend. And I was hyped for this for a very long time. I couldn't wait to watch it after our little vacation. And I'm just going to discuss the new series, The Defenders.
Not yet.
Nice ears.
They're horns.
I can see you formed a kind of bond. I promise you it's temporary.
Elektra.
They will disappoint you.
Jessica. Like it or not, you belong out there together. I'm glad we found each other.
So that was a snippet of the trailer from The Defenders. The show is starring Charlie Cox as Daredevil, Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones, Mike Coulter as Luke Cage, and Finn Jones as Danny Rand / Iron Fist. It also has Elidor Young, Jessica Henwick, Scott Glenn, Sigourney Weaver?
Am I Sigourney, saying your name?
Sigourney Weaver. I know it's Journey with the Sig. Sigourney Weaver.
How do you not know how to say your name by then?
I don't know. Rosario Dawson and Simone Missick. So if you're a fan, Ben, I'm just wondering, are you a fan of the Netflix series? Marvel series?
I was like, what's Netflix series? I'm a fan of all the Netflix series. I've only watched Daredevil season 1 and 2, Jessica Jones, and probably 3 episodes of Luke Cage. And not just because I thought like Luke Cage is bad or awful. I don't think it's bad or awful. It's just I didn't have time. And then once the whole Iron Fist debacle came out, I was like, oh, I don't want to watch that at all.
Yeah, you can skip that. You don't really need to. Even though he plays a huge role in this Defender series.
I was told that it's like Iron Fist 2 with
better characters, sidekicks. Supporting characters.
Yeah, supporting characters. Continue on.
I watch all that. I watch most of Marvel stuff, even the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. And this one does a great job uniting the heroes. It's almost like a longer version of the Avengers, basically. Like, you know, when you saw Captain America and Iron Man, the Hulk, and everyone else combined together. They did a great job, you know, introducing each character and how each one connects to the other one. And they don't really spend too much time of, like, just talking and bantering. Of like, oh, why are you this here? They're heroes. So they just combine their forces together and defend New York from an evil hidden organization called The Hand. I don't know. So The Hand was introduced in Daredevil earlier in that series. And then it just continues on, I think, in Iron Fist. They don't really talk about it more in Jessica Jones or Luke Cage. But basically, this is the ending of, not the ending, but the continuation of The Hand and why they are trying to take over New York. And it's pretty, I really liked the series. It was fun to watch just to see them, most of the characters play along with each other and the way each defender in here and how their powers are different from one another and whatnot to show how different they are, how strong, who's stronger and stuff. And then you can see like the power dynamic of each one and how one is better than the other one. But if one teams up with this guy, it's pretty cool, or vice versa with Jessica Jones. But the only thing I think I don't like about the series is the villains, the actual, you know, the menacing Hand. They didn't really do anything for me. Like, it's just, I found myself just like, what do you call it when you like on your phone while watching TV? There's a word for that.
There is a word, but I'm not entirely sure.
So I found myself doing that more every time the villains or whatever, the Hand shows up, because I got what their motives are. They're trying to take over New York. They're trying to find this thing that I think in season 2 of the Daredevil, they showed like a tunnel they're trying to dig through to get something. And it got kind of messy if you don't remember that stuff, because they really discuss that about, or that they go back to that a lot. And if you never watch those series, it was like, you'll question like, okay, I get it, a tunnel they're trying to get and whatnot. And then there is a character that returns, I forgot her name, who plays her. Yes. She returns as Elektra. Oh God, I forget her name. The one who plays Elektra. But yeah, she is in here. She comes back as Elektra. Oh, I said her name. Here it's Elodie Young. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought I skipped her name. That's why. Yeah. So Elodie Young comes back. She plays Elektra. She's okay. She didn't really do anything for me in the series. I never read Elektra. The only Elektra I know is from the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck and Jennifer.
Your name?
Huh?
Go on. It's Jennifer Gardner. But you say Ben Affleck first before.
Oh yes. But I forgot but he's in the Daredevil. But yeah. So yeah. That's the only one. So. Judging by that, I think Elodie Young does a better job. I like her costume in this. I like how she looked in here. Very, like, the hands' colors are red, so it made sense why she's wearing red. The only thing I miss is her wearing the bandana or whatever you call that overhead. That would have been cool. But other than that, yeah, she's a interesting character in this Defenders. Yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. It was 8 episodes each, like, you know, really 50 minutes each episode. And I'd rather have this type of format than the 10 to 12 episode thing they do in the individual series. I'd rather devour them like that versus the other way. I can't wait
for digest.
Digest. That's a better one. Digest it better. Devour. Digest it like that. I can't wait for season 2. They show cliffhanger. They do this thing where each character, they show you where they're at, and then it's a hint of season 2 of what's going to come up. Most of the characters they show, they show all of them. I don't know if that's a spoiler, but either way, I'm just looking forward to next season. And I'm assuming it will take another 4 years for that to happen, because each one of them has like a season 3 and 2 and 1, season 2 in the works right now.
I'm probably gonna watch it in like 2 years, probably. I don't know. It has to be a very appealing to me. Do they ever hint Kingpin in it at all?
No. So I think that's their whole thing is, this story is similar to what the MCU is doing in the movies, is when one thing is done, they're going to expand the other one. So I'm assuming the reason why the hand is in here is to make way for the Kingpin to rule New York. And you know what sucks? Because so much superheroes are in New York. Like, hint, hint, Spider-Man. They'll never, you know, hint to that because it's the Netflix series. But it would be so much better if they hint to that. I mean, the Punisher. Oh, so best part about this, too, is, like, the ending of this, credits of the last episode. If you stay over the credits, they actually show the teaser trailer for the Punisher. And I'm really looking forward for that one, too.
Cool. Yeah. Do they still hint about, like, the Avengers?
Yes, I remember, they do. Like, the incident. Okay, they always call it the incident. They make it seem like what the hand is doing is worse than what Loki did, because it's, we have to defend New York and everything. And then it's like, yeah, but the Avengers defended the New York too at one point. So you mm-hmm. don't forget about that. Like, you still question, like, why can't the Avengers come in and clean it up? But I guess they're too busy. Like, I wish they hint to that where, yeah, Tony Stark has world problems, not these little things. But then when you think about New York, I think of Spider-Man helping too, or the Punisher, like helping them. But that's, you know, it's too many characters in one area. I wish they're spread out more. Like, I wish this was, there is like no, I what I know of, there is no Chicago superhero, no famous San Francisco or Los Angeles heroes.
Well, San Francisco is Ant-Man.
Well, but he's by himself. I wish there was more. I mean, there is like an East Coast, West Coast Avengers and all this great American Lake Avengers, but they don't show that in the... There's no... what do you call it? Live action part of that. I wish they show that more.
Interesting. That is The Defenders, or Marvel's The Defenders, I'm assuming now.
Yeah.
On Netflix. So you could watch it now on there. So moving on, I've also watched something. Wanted to watch this before we went on our trip to Chicago, or the Midwest overall, Milwaukee and Chicago, but I didn't. So I watched it this past week. The film I watch is from the latest film from Steven Soderbergh titled Logan Lucky.
They're gonna know what we want them to know.
My life of crime is over.
That is massively stupid.
It's been handled.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
That looks like it hurt.
I want everything on Jimmy Logan.
I'm about to get naked. No bacon.
So that is a clip from the trailer of Logan Lucky. Here is the plot synopsis from IMDb. Two brothers attempt to pull off a heist during a NASCAR race in North Carolina. I know that is very vague and not very detailed, but I think going in the film cold and without any knowledge of who's playing who, I think it will be like a wonderful surprise. So I went on the film just based on Steven Soderbergh. Steven Soderbergh is one of my favorite contemporary directors working today. He has like a peculiar sense of style with his films. They're usually unfiltered or low-key. He uses jump cuts to explain something that seems convoluted, but it's really just quite simple. And he usually brings the best out of actors and in their performances. Case in point, in this film, Daniel Craig and Adam Driver. I forgot to mention that this stars Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, Riley Keough, and Daniel Craig. And it is written by a first-time screenwriter, Rebecca Blunt. I'm going to talk about Rebecca Blunt after my impression. But yeah, so in Logan Lucky, it's like an amalgamation of like Raising Arizona, the Coen Brothers films.
Oh, really?
The Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
It has like the absurdity and wit of like Raising Arizona and the slick yet still murky characters like Ocean's 11. And like I said, I don't want to spoil a lot, but I absolutely love this film. It's wonderfully executed. All the characters are delightful. The story is both endearing yet thrilling. I feel like due to today's like political climate and also all the calamities in the world, Logan Lucky will make you feel happy due to this like positive message.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And I'm going to like quote Steven Soderbergh's about this film because, you know, he made all the really cool like Ocean Elevens, the Ocean 11 trilogy. And, you know, like those films are very like stylish. Like you have beautiful people. While this film is about people from the South who are like, you know, not that stylish. So here's a quote about the film, why he directed the film. In the film, no one dresses nice. No one has nice stuff. They have no money. They have no technology. It's all rubber band technology. And speaking of that, because you have characters in Ocean 11 who knew how to
hack.
You know, hack or stop all the electricity in
EMP?
Las Vegas.
You mean that?
Yeah. So with this, you have these low scale. And it's a caper film, which is like a film about, you know, heists. And then, like, they take the same sort of, like, in the town where they rob a stadium. This one, they rob a stadium in a NASCAR event. And then you have, like, these characters who are doing, like, their great Southern accent. Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, Daniel Craig. And, like, surprisingly, Daniel Craig, he's a English actor from, I don't know which part of the... what country in the UK, but you know, he's well known for playing James Bond and usually serious films. Like he's hardly playing any sort of comedic films. And this is his breakthrough. This is the film where you're like that, like you're surprised that he could pull off the accent. He could pull off the comedic timing and everything, like all the nuances in his role. I feel like it's deserving as like a bit, at least a supporting actor for Oscar. Mm-hmm. I want him to be in more comedic films. He's basically the what do you call that person who supplies like the dynamite and everything in the heist? I forgot what they're called.
Explosive man? I don't know.
Yeah, the one who
the bomber.
Yeah, not the bomber. I don't think they're called the bomber. but like in in this film, he's called Joey Bangs, and then because he's in charge of like dynamite and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't want to spoil it, but
Trailer, they do the whole introducing Daniel Craig as like he's like a new actor or something.
What's weird is I've never watched the trailer.
That's oh, okay, yeah. So, they introduce him as that, like he's a new actor, like he's this is his first part in the.
That's kind of cool. Movie. I think he just wants to put that because I think Steven Soderbergh, when he casts his actors, he casts them in a sense where it follows what the character on the page is. Mm-hmm. So I think he probably found something in Daniel Craig that no other director has found. And it fits the role really well. So like I mentioned, I wanted to mention Rebecca Blunt. So this is her first time as a screenwriter, and it's kind of weird that all of a sudden she's making, she's been, you know, had this $100 million film, and then I don't think it's $100 million.
No, like it's less than that.
Yeah. But like having a $1 million film, probably gonna make $100 million at least, or through like video and
everything. Yeah. It's not going to make it in the movie theaters.
Yeah, but yeah, with this, like people are surprised, and when you research her on IMDb or even on Google, nothing shows up. A lot of people think this is a
ghostwriter.
In a sense. And a lot of suspect that it's actually Steven Soderbergh's wife, who is not a screenwriter. And I think they just like the mystery of it. I mean, the Coens done this with their earlier films. They would like make up someone. And then I think Steven Soderbergh is like, this is like an ode to that, I feel like, because there's a lot of Raising Arizona type of winks to it. Mm-hmm. Especially the jokes are very like that. I highly recommend watching this. If you can't watch it in the movie theaters, I'm pretty sure it's going to be probably on Netflix in a year from now. I feel like everyone will enjoy it. There's no killings. There's a great Game of Thrones reference. I was even hesitant to even mention it here, but when that reference comes up, you're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Yeah. But yeah, if you love heist films, I think this is one of the best heist films.
Is it funny, like the movie? Like, if I go in there, will I be laughing? Like,
yes, you will laugh throughout.
Like, it's just Raising Arizona style.
Raising Arizona is more quirky,
like
over the top. This one's more grounded, but it's still, you know, a little bit more absurd and witty.
Okay,
so yeah.
After watching Alien Covenant, I want to watch a new. I watched that too over the weekend, but we discussed that film many times here. Just after watching that, I want to watch something that makes me happy. That's why I'm like,
this will make you happy. Right. And when I mentioned the daring part, it has to do with family. And I think you will relate to it.
Yes. Really well. I probably will watch this then.
You should watch it with your family. There's no blood or violence. There is cursing, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. That is out now in film theaters everywhere. So moving on to our main discussion, which is a Amazon Video series. So I think we talked about this series before.
Last year.
Last year when it was a trailer, and then it was doing their whole vote for this. You know what Amazon usually does.
We watched they had a pilot episode last
year. You vote for the pilot, and then once the pilot is out, and you vote for it, they will film more of the series. So the first 6 episodes came out this week. So our main discussion is the new series titled The Tick.
Impolite! Quite a kick.
What the world needs now is us. Sweet us.
No.
Oh, yes. Ah, this is the good stuff.
I'm breaking a little bit.
Taser time!
Tickle!
Two bullets, point blank, and high voltage, plus a 3-story drop, and look at you. You're as alive as a daisy.
So that is a trailer from the new series, The Tick, brought to you by Amazon Video. Here is the plot synopsis from IMDb once again. In a world where superheroes have been real for decades, an accountant with no superpowers comes to realize his city is owned by a supervillain. As he struggles to uncover this conspiracy, he falls in league with a strange blue superhero, which I assume is the Tick. So this is created by Ben Edlund, who is the creator of, or he helps created the Venture Brothers, if people don't know which one is that, which is from Adult Swim. This one starring Peter Serafinowicz, that's a difficult last name, but I think I got that right. Griffin Newman, Valerie Curry, Brendan Hind, Jackie Earle Haley, and Yara Martinez. So I was a fan of the cartoon series, which ran from 94 to 96, which they had only 36 episodes, and the live action series, which ran from 2001 and was canceled with only 9 episodes. But before that, there was before the cartoon or live action, it was primarily a comic book, but it was created by its creator, Ben Edlund. So Ben Edlund has been producing both the cartoon, comic book, and live action series for about 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's been having its own cult following. I think you and I are really huge fans of the humor, how it usually, what do you call that? I forgot. But it usually has a, you know, has something
odd
to say.
Group of characters and whatnot.
Yeah, but it usually has something to say about superheroes, yes, and their lifestyles and whatnot.
It's almost like spoofing a lot of the superheroes of today. Yeah.
So, John, with all that said, what did you think about the new series and its 6 episodes on Amazon Video?
I was really surprised, mostly because I didn't know it was 6 episodes. I thought there was like a 12 episode thing. I read somewhere and you told me they split the season up. So I didn't know that. So I just rushed watching the 6 episodes, and I really love it. It's really surprising. It basically gives me the scratch that itch that I've been missing with Venture Brothers, because Venture Brothers takes a while to create, and this one just continues that absurdity. Oh my god, I'm saying that word wrong. Of just how silly superheroes are. If the Defenders is like super serious, the Tick is, they don't really take it as serious. They do a lot of jokes in between, a lot of funny stuff that happens in between scenes and whatnot. What's his name? Peter
Serafinowicz.
Yes, him.
He is a really
He's a good actor. He does a lot of character acting. And yeah. I was really surprised.
Go on.
I was really surprised of how well he plays the Tick. He doesn't have the body structure. I think we discussed this too last time. He doesn't have the body structure of the Tick. And they solved that by putting him like with a whole bunch of pads on his bodysuit.
I noticed they changed the suit from episode 1 to until it got
picked up,
piloted afterwards.
But his voice is so like the Tick, his mannerisms and whatnot, and the way he talks. And I didn't know he can do that. Like, last time I saw him was in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was really surprised when he started, doing that voice. I think he usually has like a British voice, or
he's an actor from
a British actor. Yeah, but when he starts doing the Tick's voice, I was really surprised. And one of the reasons I like the show is because of that, because he plays the Tick really well. And I think the leading guy, I believe, Griffin Newman, who plays Arthur, is great too. They both play the character that I remember in the cartoon so well. That's what I like about it. Even though the costumes are really different from what I remembered, especially Arthur's, I'm like used to like the stark white costume. But this one, they have to, it has to be more realistic. But they still have really odd characters in here. A lot of the villains are very odd and weird, and I really like that. That's why I like Venture Brothers, because of that. And they still poke fun of how in this world where superheroes and villains, there are still rules that they have to abide to, to make the world go around, I guess. But yeah, it's like I said, it's really short. I really like everything about it, all the characters in it. Probably my gripe is the way it's filmed sometimes and the special effects. It looks low budget. I wish they had like a bigger budget to film it. I don't know. I guess, yeah, this is like...
I mean, one of the more noticeable effects, and I think, I don't know what happened to their budget, is when Arthur's flying.
Yes. When Arthur's flying. I mean, it has that like claymation stop motion feel to it, but it just looks weird in this movie. And granted, like this whole thing is odd and everything, but I feel like they should spend a little bit more money on that part of it where he's flying around, because I bet if they capture that really well, it would look really good. Other than that, I just really love the film. It's one of my favorite things watching this. Oh no, one of my favorite series I watched this year. And I really like Jackie Earl Haley in this. He plays the Terror. You'll never know that's him. Like similar to his like Friday or Nightmare on Elm Street makeup. You'll never know that's him. He plays it very solid and everything.
In The Watchmen, he plays
Watchmen, he shows Rorschach. His face. Rorschach. Yeah. He motes the motion that he really well, even though he's always under makeup most of the stuff I've seen.
I feel like I watched something with him earlier. Recently? Or a couple weeks ago.
He was on a TV series. I forgot what TV series he was on. No, he's currently on a TV series.
No, it's not a TV series. I think it's a film I watched recently.
Oh, I don't know.
With Jackie Earl Haley. And then I was like, oh, that's Jackie Earl Haley.
But Birth of a Nation? Realize. He was in Birth of a Nation.
Oh, I know what it was.
Dark Tower.
It's the Dark Tower.
Yes.
Yeah, he was there for like 5-10 minutes. But he was like a henchman, which is weird.
He plays that well too, henchman.
Yeah.
He plays like whatever role, and then because he's only famous to me because of Watchmen, and I just keep seeing him in other stuff now.
Yeah. This series is great. If listeners don't know, a little bit more about The Tick. He's basically someone who follows like the whole like ignorance is bliss, happy go lucky.
Oh yes, I forgot about that.
That's why he's like a fascinating character, and I believe. Like he was like that with its predecessors, the cartoon and other live action. He's like this honest superhero living in wicked times. And I think in this current series, they took like the grittier comic book films like the Dark Knight trilogy or Logan and opened doors for the series. Because instead of the Batman and Wolverine, it's the Tick. So you're still having that type of, you know, grittier background, a wicked world. But now you have this perky and at times like ridiculous personality of a character. And it's a bit adorable when you see that. There's a contrast to it, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And the first couple of episodes were directed by Wally Pfister. For those who don't know, he's a cinematographer that Christopher Nolan uses. And like the films, the aforementioned films, The Dark Knight Trilogy, which he was a cinematographer, and Inception and The Prestige. He's very talented. So it's really surprising he took this project and then he put his own blueprint on it. And I think he did a really great job in the first couple episodes. He basically set the bar and then he, you know, all the other directors followed that. Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens in a television series, I think. I'm really happy this was created. Can't wait for the 6 more episodes. I think that is my only gripe too, that and some of the production when it comes to the effects. But overall, the jokes here are really good. Like, it's both dry, witty. There are times where it just reminds me of the Venture Brothers, where you have them just talking about like regular things, but they're like superheroes. I don't want to spoil anything, but there is a relationship here where one of the exes are living with one of the supervillains, and the ex is just a regular dude.
Yes.
And then they have to share an apartment due to legal custody or battles of the apartment.
They kind of do that too with Arthur too. Like he's just a regular dude, and then he has problems, like regular life problems too.
You could tell like the difference between the first two episodes and the four other episodes, yes, just because of the color palette. You could tell like the tick suit change over the year, because it's been a year since they filmed that first episode. And I think the current tick suit is really good. I really like the other one just because it looked weird and because it had like the veins and all that.
Yes. It looked like that was his body. Like, yeah. This one is more like it looks like a suit he's wearing, like a suit that he accidentally got.
Somewhere. Yeah. And they still have the voiceover. I think I remember in the cartoon series, it was more of a therapist interviewing them, and they would like recall everything they were doing. So yeah, this is really great. I highly recommend it for those who are fans of The Tick. But yeah, yes, and it's kind of cool that Ben Edlin is still behind this. If you're still wanting more and you haven't watched it, I really recommend Adult Swim's The Venture Brothers. That one's really good. Yeah,
you can find. I don't know if the Tick series is streaming anywhere.
I think it is, but I think you have to pay for it.
Okay.
What are you talking about, the cartoon or
the cartoon? Action? Yes.
No, I actually don't know. I don't think that one's actually streaming anywhere. But oh yeah, the word I was looking for was deconstruct the superhero.
Oh yes.
Motif. I guess you could say. But yeah, that is The Tick. It is out now, streaming on Amazon. If you have an Amazon Prime, it's free. Not free in a sense because you still pay for Amazon Prime, but free in a sense like, you know, you don't have to pay $3 an episode, I believe, if you don't have it. But it's well worth it. I highly recommend. So John, I don't think we're going to add anything yet because the episode's getting a bit too long to the 17 freaking awesome things of 2017, right?
No, I'm not adding anything.
I think next week we'll probably dedicate that as a main discussion. Yeah, because I think probably. I have a few things to put on.
Wait, is it coming out next week?
No, it comes out in a couple. We will have, when the week it comes out, we will have that it. I think we're going to invite some returning guests who are really fond of horror.
Great.
I'm going to try to schedule that. Because I haven't watched the original Tick, the original It. I'm going to go without watching it. And then you have watched it recently, right? The original.
That's something I'm planning to do. I don't know if I'll get to it, but I want to watch it before the
I actually have the movie. Book, but I just never... I have that and The Shining, but I never came around to read
the
it.
Books so or probably, the movies?
The book okay. of it, yeah. It's actually a hard book to find. I don't know if it was like a short story somewhere, but yeah.
It? Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that is it for now. John, where can they find you on the interweb?
You can find me on Twitter as BioArts. Also, I just want to mention this, just a little shout out. I don't know if they'll be listening to it. To Dez, Ryan, Will, and Tyrone. Thank you for everything that... on our little vacation, they treat us and showed us hospitality of the Chicago,
the Midwest. Basically.
Oh, yes, the Midwest. Yes, the Midwest, yeah. But mostly.
They're originally from Wisconsin. Really fun. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for everything. We had fun. We did paintballing. There was a car show and everything. But yeah, they were really great. Can't wait to see them again. We'll probably record something if they're willing to do that.
Oh, yes. If they're ever here.
It could be about anything. That episode will probably be about whatever.
Yeah.
I'll probably bring
whatever.
Up
whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. We have a Twitter account, which is TFA Now. The Freaking Awesome Now, which that's what it stands for, but at TFA Now. You can find us on the Facebook. On the Freaking Awesome, I believe that's what it's called, John, right?
Yes.
Once again, if you're listening to this, you are listening from a streaming service. Most particularly, it's probably iTunes. Please rate us, comment us. The more comments and more ratings we have, the more we could go up there. This is like our 40th episode, 50th. Overall, probably like our 200 and something or 300 episode, if you count the you know older episodes from like almost 10 years ago.
2009.
Yeah, 2009. So please do that. If anything, please email us or you know shoot us a tweet of what you would recommend or anything.
Yes, that would be cool if they can do that.
Yeah, but shout out to all the followers we've been engaging in our personal account. I know there's a handful of you that actually listen. Yeah, we thank you. And yeah, thank you for everything. So yeah, that is the Freaking Awesome Podcast. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.